Parsha is in the Chutz is Parsha's Korach. I'd like to tell her a few ideas about Parsha's Korach. The first idea that I'd like to mention is that a friend of mine pointed out, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that we say that Owen Ben Peles was saved by his wife. We know the whole story that they came, Korach and his cohorts came to try to get Owen Peles to join them, and he was already part of them, just to call him to come with them. And she had told Owen Ben Peles, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem Eitan. We're just getting started." So Owen Ben Peles' wife is a Chachmas Isha Bansa Besa, that the wisdom of the woman builds the house. The wife of Owen Ben Peles is praised. Why is she praised? Because she had a very logical argument to Owen. She said, "Listen, Owen, right now, you know, you're a second fiddle. You're not the main man anyway. And even if Korach is successful in his rebellion, you'll still remain second fiddle. So what's the point in getting involved in this machlokes?" And for this, the Gemara calls her Chachmas Isha Bansa Besa. Like, she was so wise. And the Bali Musar asks, "I don't understand. What was so wise about making such a comment? It's very logical, right? If you're the second fiddle in the rebellion, so you're always second fiddle. So what's the Maila of the Chachma of the wife of Owen Ben Peles?" And the Bali Musar said, I saw this quoted in the sheets by Rav Moshe Sternbach Shlita. He says, the Maila was, the wisdom was, that usually when a person is involved in a machlokes, when a person is so, it's called in Hebrew, like behola, like he's so out of it, he's just so hot to trot, so it's very hard to think clearly. So what was her Chachma? Her wisdom was that even though there was a lot of excitement against Moshe Rabbeinu and a lot of this momentum in the rebellion, she was able to remove herself from, I guess, her husband's feelings and so on, and be able to set him straight and be clear, have a frame of mind to remind him, "Hey, hold on a second, think about this. No matter what's going to happen, you'll always be second fiddle. It's not worth it to be involved in this rebellion." And you see from here, obviously, in the situation we're going through now as well, you know, there's a lot of tension, a lot of things stressed, a lot of things going on. But it's very important in life, even when things get a little bit hairy, even when things get a little bit, you know, bibahola and confusion and disarray, it's very important to remain composure and have a clear head. And that's what you see. That's why Chachma Zisha Bansa Besa, what was her Chachma? She was able to remove herself and not be affected by the excitement of the machlokas. That's number one. Number two, it's an amazing sefer. It's called Chavetz Chaim Al Torah. It's a 3-volume set. Now, it's the Chodesh, because the original Chavetz Chaim Al Torah is a very thin sefer. But what this 3-set volume does is it goes through all the writings of the Chavetz Chaim and pulls out different things that relate to the parasha. It's really amazing. And he writes here, based on the pasuk, "Lo yeh Korach k'Korach v'cha'ad aso." A person should not be like Korach and his assembly. What does that mean? And Rabbeinu Yonah and the Smag, they both say it's a lav gomer. It's a prohibition to be involved in a machlokes, right? And so he says over here, he quotes that in Shmira Saloshan, in Shara Hezekiah, Perek Tezvav in Yuzayin, the Chavetz Chaim goes out of his way to explain how terrible Machlokas is. And he quotes here from the Panovich Rav, and the Panovich Rav is quoting the Chavetz Chaim. And the Chavetz Chaim said that in Radin, there was a big Machlokas about the Shochtim, and they had a big meeting with all the Shochtim. And the Chavetz Chaim spoke up and he said the following. He said, "Yehudi Baal Machlokas, a Jew who's involved in a Machlokas, Lama Hu Dome, what's he compared to? Lemisha Hisker Atzom Lamocha Lakama Shanam Tmuras Ochavulina." A guy gets himself a job, right? He's working for somebody, and instead of getting paid wages, what happens? He gets food and board in exchange for his work. Vaz Komas Gurto Yishamulo Batom Hatkufa. And everything is paid to him during that time. Yavil Iro Vyaser. Eventually, he gets some money together and he builds a business. He continues to work and work and work. He amasses a small fortune. And what does he do? He decides to go out on his own. He went on his own. Eventually, he amasses a certain amount of wealth. And now it's time for him to go home. Again, it was a gradual progression, right? He worked for room and board, somehow saved up some money, developed a business, and then he's on his way back. Listen to the words of Chavetz Chaim. He says, "Hishel tzror l'achorav." He took his, you know, money pouch. He slung it over him. V'asa Darko Belev Misronin Itzadkal. Right, he went with his heart and he started marching softly back to his original hometown. Vatsadim Halchu V'Kolo, and his journey got easier. Shekem Bitzur Hayachor. Oh no, I'm sorry. This is what happened. As he's carrying the money pouch started to get lighter and lighter. Vamos Zolgu Mimeno, the money dripped out from his bag, which had a hole in it. V'Yishu B'Zeh Achazeh. One by one, all of the money went out of his bag that was behind him. Sofa Shegiv Bitzur Rik. He went home. He got home with an empty pouch. That's the Moshe. Chofetz Chaim was famous for obviously his brilliance in halacha and so on, but also his mishalim. So here's a person who spent his whole life, years and years and years, amassing wealth and money to bring it back to his hometown. And foolishly, what happened? Foolishly, on the way home, there's a hole in the bag, and he lost all of it. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Af atem b'nei Radin, you too, the people of Radin, ma yo'il lachem sh'atem oskim b'torah v'mitzvos v'maisim tovim. What is it going to help you if you're involved in Torah, Mitzvahs, and Ma'aseh Tovim? Harei machlokes amariva goremes l'chur b'kis. If you are involved in a machlokes and a fight, it's going to cause you to have a hole in your pouch. We'll call it ruchushem haruchani. All of your spiritual accomplishments and achievements and accumulated, everything you accumulated, olul aredes l'timyon. It's going to be totally, totally lost. Now, these are very strong words, right? I mean, but it's true. Right, if you can give a mashal, right? We know that a parent, one of the most difficult things for a parent is when the children don't get along. You could be the best kid in the world, right? Let's say the mashal, right? You have a student, you have a child who's an A student in school. He's the best kid. He gets the best notes all home from the Rebbe all the time. He's an amazing kid. But every single day he comes home and he fights with the siblings day and night, day and night, day and night. So for a parent, that's going to be very difficult. But he's such a good kid. He learns so much. That's the mashal that I just made up on the spot. That's the mashal. The initial is HaKadosh Baruch says, "Wow, look at this great, you know, Eved Hashem that I have. This person serves me. He davens beautifully. He learns beautifully. But he doesn't get along with people. He's involved in machlokes. So you can understand with the nimshal that HaKadosh Baruch is not satisfied. He's not going to be satisfied with such a person. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is telling us." Chofetz Chaim is telling us that even if you are amazing in Bein Adam L'Makom, even in many areas of Bein Adam L'Chavero, if a person is involved in machlokes, it's worthless. This is something to keep in mind as you get older, as you go around in life. So many times, you know, whether it's neighbors and you know he encroached on my property and he wronged me. He did wrong me. You know what? Often, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's better to take the high road. Because there are always going to be things that are going to bother us. There are always going to be reasons to get involved in machlokes. But you see, and back to the original statement that I said over here. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Sfag say it's a lav gomer to be involved in machlokes. It's a prohibition. Just like eating pork, right? Just like wearing shanes, being involved in machlokes. It's not an extra in Bnei L'Chavero. It's a lav. It's a prohibition. And you see from here, the way the Chofetz Chaim presents it, a person can take all of his good deeds, all of his Torah and Ma'aseh Tovim, and basically lose all of it if he's involved in a machlokes. So that's number two that we see from this week's parasha. The third thing that I want to point out, and this is also very, very powerful, also in the Chofetz Chaim, over here, it says, usually I press pause, but now that I have people on Zoom, so I'm not going to press pause. Maybe I should. I'm going to press pause in the recording. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Tivlo Osam Espatam, that the ground swallowed them up, and their houses, Veskola Adam, and all the people, Asher Lekorach, Veis Kola Rechush. It also swallowed up their possessions. Ben Machias brings a measure. The measure says, Botach, Ba'ashrohu, Yipol. Somebody who trusts in his wealth, okay? What will happen? He will fall. And that's the Pasuk initially. It says, measures, Zek Korach, it's referring to Korach. She'ibet hu v'gam Ashro. He was lost and all of his wealth was lost. Shnemar v'as kol ruchush. What do you see from here? That not only was Korach punished with obviously his life and his and the people involved with Korach, but also all of his wealth. Why was that important? So what do you see from here? And that's the Pasuk that's quoted from Mishlei and the Medrash. That not only did Korach, with his jealousy and with his leading of the rebellion, lose his life, but he also lost all of his money. Now listen to this story. Okay, the story goes, it's from Alinka Milida, not sure exactly who it is, but this is what the Chafetz Chaim said over it, that he went to a wealthy person. This person, Rav Alinka Milida, he's a Gaon, that's what he calls him. He was on his way to stay by a wealthy person's house that lived in a certain village near the German border. Okay, and this wealthy person was showing off how wealthy he was. He said, look, I have many batim, achuzos, I have houses, I have estates, I have sodos, I have yaros, I have forests, I have fields, mivashos, hashecha, v'tuchonos, have kemach, v'shuso. He has, breweries, and he has places where they grind the flour, a mischa, hanof, shehu menahel, all these huge factories that he oversees. Begavus ruach hitzis she'osher rav kolkach. He was boasting and bragging about how wealthy he was and how successful he was. Actually, and he said, I don't think I'll ever be lacking anything until the last days of my life. So this Rabbi Alinka said, whoa. He said the following line. He said, a Jew can't talk like that. You can't say, I'm sure, or I'm going to have all this wealth till the day I pass away. Why? Because we know what we say, one of the psukim, not sure exactly. No, I'm saying, this is certainly the Geras Ramban. I'm not sure where the Geras Ramban is quoted. It says, Hashem Mori Shum Asher. Hashem makes somebody poor and Hashem makes somebody wealthy. It's all our Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's all Hashem. Hakol B'Yodav, everything is B'yad Hashem. And obviously we can see that from this Tkufa, no question about it. I was talking to somebody, so many different industries, you know, right? Just the first thing that comes to the top of my head, a hotel industry. Can we understand how anybody who had a successful hotel, what happened to them like that? Chayev mar l'shuv b'tshuva al dvarav. You have to do tshuva on your words. And you know what the wealthy man said back? Mitpal ani ki yasmin Hashem as briusi. I daven to Hashem that He should keep me healthy. V'yar es chayai. I daven to Hashem that He should give me long life and I should be healthy. Aval b'negel oshri. When it comes to my wealth, ani eni mudag. I don't worry. Can you imagine? Obviously, in our times, people, you know, we're a little bit more exposed to obviously the markets and different economics, economic realities of the last number of decades. There are times when we have recessions and we have recessions and depressions from obviously the early 1900s, but Lamaisa, hopefully in our time, nobody would say such a thing. But in Europe, back in the day, the prince says, I'm not worried. Can you imagine saying, I'm not worried about my parnas, I'm so wealthy. Of Rushanim, he says, many years passed, and this Rav went to a shul, and this shul was actually known as the Hachnasas HaOrchim, meaning people used to, passers-by used to go in there, and the guy walked up to him, and he looked familiar, he couldn't figure out who he was. He said, you look familiar, I don't know where you're from. He said, hello, they exchanged pleasantries, and all of a sudden he realized that this poor man that he's looking at was this wealthy guy from years ago. I said, I can't believe what happened to you, right? And you're the one, right? You thought you'd never be lacking bread, and this is like a few years later. So what happened? He said that the Russian army was in the area, and some Cossack from the Russian army was riding on his horse, and he went on a bridge right near his flour factory, and some of the beams broke, and it fell on the horse, right? And and this guy, he drowned, or he fell into the water, maybe he drowned. And anyway, so they said that the Russian army said that it was this guy's fault, and that he was working for the Germans against the Russian Cossacks, and they wanted to bring him to court and try convict him or whatever. So right away he ran away, and because he was nervous for his life, and he had exardin of mavis, which means he was going to be a death sentence. And all of his wealth was repossessed by the Russian government. So now that's lahastir. Basically, he ran away and he had to hide. With not only did he have to hide, he had no wealth with him, he had nothing to take with him, And now he realized how foolish he was that he made that terrible utterance that he's only worried about his health and his long life, but he has no worries about parnasa. Ubedumos shlish, with exceeding tons of tears, bach al masava ha'umlo. He went ahead and he was crying. So we see from here, and this is based on the Chofetz Chaim said over the historian Sefer Mayim Chaim, that not only did Korach ruin his life, but he also lost all of his rechush. And we see this story certainly highlights something that we have to keep in mind. Right? And it, I think it could be in Kohelet. Hashem Morishum Asher, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes people poor and he makes people wealthy. Certainly something to work on during this time and in general life. Right? I often say over, I heard this, I think it was the name of Aaron Cutler, that oftentimes the more successful a person is, the more he thinks it was him. But in reality, it should be the opposite. The more successful a person is, the more he should realize how much he has to thank Hashem. The more he should realize how much of a gift it is from Hashem. We all know that there are plenty of smart people in the world. Not everybody has the bracha of being successful. A person has to realize that the reason why a person is successful, it's not because, again, you have to do your shtadlus, no question about it. You have to do your shtadlus to be in the game. Again, some people are on the madriga, again, very few. On the Madriga, that they don't do so much shtadlus, and Kadosh Baruch Hu sends it to them. But putting that aside, generally speaking, but just understand what shtadlus means, is the reason why we're obligated to do shtadlus is to make it harder for us to realize that it's all Hashem. But we have to believe 100% that every single penny, every single dollar, every shekel in our pocket is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No matter how successful we are, no matter where we are, wealthy, poor, it's all Hashem. And that's what we see from this Medrash, that not only did Korach lose his life, he also lost his wealth. And this story just highlights something that we have to live, a very, very important principle in life. Everything we have is from Hashem, and we should never take it for granted. And Kadosh Baruch Hu has to continue to give it to us. It happens to be just to be Mosef. The Gemara tells us, "Kol shana shrosh b'tchilos misasheres b'sofa." Any year that starts off poor ends up rich. And so what does that mean? So Rashi says, "Tachnuni midaber rosh." A person should daven Rosh Hashanah as if he's a poor person. And the Bali Musar explained, what does that mean? If a person comes into Rosh Hashanah and says, Hashem, I don't need anything from you. I have everything. My bank account is full. So then that's not a good thing. He has to believe that everything has to be re-given to him. And that's a lesson for life all year round. The idea is that a person has to realize that he should never take his gifts for granted, and then the Kadosh Baruch Hu will continue to give it to him. First of all, certainly giving tzedakah. We know the Pasuk tells us, aser to aser, which means give tithe, give 10%. The more you give, the more you get back. And therefore, you're showing that, you know what, you're just a shomer, a pikadon, you're just a guardian of the money that Hashem bestows upon you. So just to review, point number one is that even if things are going haywire, things are out of control, you have to keep a level head, and that's what Omer Peles' wife did when she said, listen, you're going to be second fiddle no matter what. Number two, the idea of a machlokas. A person, the Chofetz Chaim says, a person can do everything right, Torah mitzvahs, even Ben Olam Chaver, let's say you're a nice guy, you always lend people, you right? With your friends, you're the nicest person in the world. But you're involved in a machlokas, the Chofetz Chaim says you can lose all of your schusim. And number three, the idea that no matter what we have in life, when it comes to our parnasa, we should never take it for granted, and we always have to ask Hashem to continue to give it to us on a regular basis. Have a great day and a great Shabbos.